that was actually sent to me by Pastor Carolyn. And along with that was a story. And I guess this is a true story. The little boy there was her nephew. And a couple of years ago, he was shopping with his mom at the mall. And he had seen all these kids in line for Santa Claus. And he was thinking about it. He said, tugged on her coat. And he said, "Mom, where's the line to see Jesus? I mean, if this is his birthday, how come we don't see more of him?" And that really struck a chord in her, and she went home and told her dad about it. And her dad wrote this song that afternoon. And that was a couple years ago. And he called this gal, which is his other daughter, and said, "Hey, I got this song. Would you sing it?" And she said, "Okay." And they got together, and they went to a music-producing studio there by where they live, and they recorded this song. They had some input. They changed a few things and tweaked it a little bit, and they put it out on YouTube, and it just kind of went viral. But it wasn't what you see here. So they had so much demand for this song that some other people got involved in it, and they said, "Let's do something bigger with it." That's when they got together and did the whole video production, the choir in the background, they added all the instruments, and really made it into this. And they just released this past year, and there's millions of hits now in this song. And it just goes to show you that through it all, through the Santa, through the presents, through the hustle and bustle, people are still craving to see Jesus. And I love some of the lines in there. I love, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" I'd love to see a line outside here every Sunday morning, because Jesus is here. But for this, I thought it was really appropriate, because I don't know about you, but I am not done with Christmas yet. I'm not done with Christmas carols. I'm not sick of Christmas. See, I'd love to have Christmas be from Christmas Day to New Year's and celebrate Christmas for that whole week and not say that Christmas is just the one day, because it just seems too much to contain in that one day. And it seems like, you know, before Christmas, so we have the carols on the radio and we have the decorations being put up, and it seems like we get so lost in the hustle and bustle of Christmas that we almost miss it. Now, how many of you were sitting there after Christmas and going, "I can't believe it's over. That was so fast." Some of you were sitting there going, "Thank God it's over." Now, yeah, but that proves my point too. Where was your time to enjoy Christmas? You see, it's just like when I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about it, and I put together a poem. And some of you might know that I do a bit of writing, and I used to write. I was an English teacher, and I started thinking about this, and I started writing, and I put together a poem. And I was a little nervous about this, because I usually don't share my writing. And I used to do quite a bit of it, and I kind of fell away from it for a while. But it got me thinking. This whole thing about Christmas got me thinking, and I was going through that poem the night before Christmas, and I got to thinking about the night after Christmas. So I put a little something together, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and share it with you today. And it goes like this. It's the night after Christmas, and all through the house. The mess was substantial. We could hardly move about. The kids were all playing with all their new toys, punctuated by fighting that goes with children, both girls and boys. And what cut through the air to blister my ears was the shrilling cry of mine, "Get out," and "Not fair." So I started getting ready to head to the mall to take back the presents that were just not quite right or a little too small. So we loaded the family all into the car with all of our packages, gifts, and receipts, and demands from the children being screamed from their seats. What they now wanted, which they did not get, for it's time to return those unwanted gifts. I turned on the radio and flipped through the stations, trying to find some joy in this post-Christmas season. And to my dismay, though I searched all around, there wasn't a Christmas-type song to be found. And I thought to myself as I drove to the mall, what happened to Christmas? Where has it all gone? As we continued to drive, it occurred to me, sometime this week we have to take down the tree. All the decorations and bows will be put into boxes and shoved in the basement, all but forgotten. A strange uneasiness inside me started to grow, and the depth of my sadness must have started to show. As the car became quiet and the mood settled in, my outlook for the new year was becoming decidedly grim. Where was the joy that Christmas should bring? Only one day after, and there are no carols to sing. No glad tidings, no bounce in your step. Is anything more depressing than December 26th? Then we stopped by a house and beheld a beautiful sight. A manger in the yard was still lit up bright. Signs were put up exclaiming, "It's a boy. The Savior is born. Spread the Christmas joy." And there in the straw a little baby was wrapped. The wise men were there, a camel and all that. I had seen it before, but it never hit me till now. That child was born for me, and I turned the car around. I then told my family of the baby that laid there and all that he'd do as he grew through the years. And as I spoke of that child, my Lord and my King, I found a carol in my heart that I always could sing. For coming up from the manger, there is a song that is sung. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's not over, folks. It's not over. You see, just like I wrote in that poem, those of you who have had children know that once you have children, that's just the beginning. I mean, a couple will not sit there in the hospital and go, "Phew, glad that's over. What do you want to do tomorrow?" That doesn't happen because they know their lives are changed. Their lives are never going to be the same. They have a child now. I want to share a little story here I found while I was preparing the sermon. And it kind of illustrates this point about how we get caught up in things before Christmas. It says, there was a European family that decided to have their newborn baby dedicated. They were a very wealthy family, and they decided they were going to have this dedication ceremony done at their house. They had a huge mansion. So they invited all of their friends and family to come out. And when they got there, they were greeted at the door, and they were shown to a bedroom to place their coats and their wraps. And then they were brought downstairs where they were royally entertained. There were singers and dancers and food and catering, and it was a grand, grand affair. Then it came time for the baby's dedication, but nobody could find the baby. They went to the child's governess, and they said, "Where's the child?" And she ran upstairs in a panic, searched all around. She came back white-faced and just scared to death. She could not find the baby. So everyone started to search for the baby. And then somebody remembered they thought they saw the child asleep on one of the beds upstairs. So they started to search all the upstairs rooms, and they found the baby on the bed, buried underneath the furs and the coats and the wraps. See, in all of their excitement and all the to-do, they almost forgot the baby. It was almost suffocated and died because it was forgotten. See, if you forget the baby, you miss the point. And I want to go back to today's reading today, and I picked this reading. I went right back to Luke 2 because I think it really shows us some examples on how to deal with this fact that we have a baby. And see, that's something we have to understand. When you look through Luke 2, the angel said to the shepherd, "I bring you good news." And it specifically said, "I bring you good news." And they go on, they say, "A Savior has been born to you. This is a sign for you. You will find the baby in a manger. This is your Savior. This is your King. This is your Christ. This is your Messiah." See, sometimes we focus so much on the fact that God so loved the world that we forget that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. So I want you to think about that and look in Luke today. And we go back to our reading. We're going to look at Luke 2:19. And it says there, after the shepherds told her everything about what happened with them and the angels coming to them, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the first thing I think we need to do, now that Christmas is here and we have this child, is we need to ponder this a little bit. And for those of you that are going, what's he talking about? That means to think about it. And not just casually. Not just, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, it was Jesus. Yeah, he was born. Got it. No. Ponder it. Think about it. Consider it. How does this affect your life? You have a baby born unto you, folks. See, and you have to ask yourself, why did this happen? See, Christ was born to bridge the gap that existed between us and God. Between you and God. There was a gap. The relationship wasn't there. We didn't have that one-on-one. So Christ had to step off of his throne and do something about it. There's a story here that goes along with this. It's more of a children's story, and it's been adapted into 1,000 different ways. But it goes something like this. There was a prince, and he was thinking it's about time that he finds himself a wife. He was looking for a bride, but he wasn't sure how to go about this. And one day he was going through one of the villages, and he noticed a peasant girl outside of his carriage. He was immediately struck by her beauty. As he was leaving, he kept thinking about her. So he made arrangements to go back through the village the next day, and he saw her again. He was completely enamored. He couldn't stop thinking about her. He kept going back through the village, and he kept seeing her. And he just knew she was the one. But he had a problem. How does he approach this girl? He's the prince. He could have simply walked up and said, I want you. You will marry me. But then he wouldn't know if she truly loved him. Or if she was just being obedient. He could drive up to her with a team of 6 white horses and a grand carriage all decorated in gold and his finest uniform. And he could say, I want your hand, please be mine. But he would not know. Was it all the glory and splendor that she was in love with? Was she overawed or was it him? So he came up with a plan. He got rid of his kingly robes, and one day he walked into the village as a peasant. He worked beside them. He talked their language. He pursued her, and she fell in love with him for who he was. See, the moral of the story ties in with what God did for us. God had to make himself understandable in a way that we could enter into a relationship with him. God had to take off his kingly robe. God had to take off all of the majesty and glory that is his to step down to that lowly level, to be born in a manger with the animals. To give the first good news of the world to shepherds. To show how there is nobody to be denied from this good news. You heard last week a little bit about Pastor Mitch was talking about how the shepherds were despised in this society. They were down here on a level with prostitutes and habitual sinners and people that they figured were just non-repentive. They were not allowed into the temple. They were on this level where they were felt, the Pharisees, they felt that the shepherds were not redeemable. But God chose them and said, unto you a Savior is born. And unto all of you a Savior is born. Why did God do that? The first thing we need to do now is ponder that. Think about it. The Savior is born. You've seen the Savior. Christmas Day has come. Now, why did he do that for you? Why would he do that for you? And he did that for you to have that relationship with you, to bridge that gap. That's why he did that for you. The next thing that Luke tells us is in Luke 20. And it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told. So they saw Jesus. They realized this is just as we have been told. So they went back praising God. Now, this baby was born for you. This miracle has happened and you have been told. Christmas Day is past. Now you have to decide how you're going to react. You have to decide what you're going to do with this news, how you're going to react with it. Are you going to accept it? You cannot look to the person to the left of you. You cannot look to the person to the right. You cannot look to me. This is something you have to decide in your heart, what you want to do with this news. Now, the shepherds gave us an idea here. The shepherds heard the news, they saw the glory of God, and they went back praising God. See, we are made to praise and worship God. It's one of the reasons God made us. It was for his glory. And I'm not talking about praising God, coming in here on a Sunday morning and singing a couple of worship songs. I'm talking about praising God with everything that you are, with everything that you have. I want to look for a second at Matthew 25, and we're going to read all of 31 through 40. This is, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus tells us how we praise him through our actions, how we relate to each other. We can praise him every day through our speech, through our actions, through caring for one another. Every day, by following in the footsteps of Christ, we learn to praise God. See, I want you to understand that once you enter that relationship with God, once you learn that secret of praising God, then giving to others becomes a joy in you. Helping others becomes a joy in you. Speaking encouragement becomes a joy for you. And the joy will live inside of you. And I'll remind you of the story of Scrooge for just a second. Since it is that time of year and we often hear the story, and I love what Scrooge says at the end of the play there. He says, I will honor Christmas in my heart, and I will try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me, and I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. See, Scrooge learned the value of giving. He learned the joy that giving gives to the giver. He learned that he could turn his humbugs into hallelujahs, because he had the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas comes from the Savior. The love that he learned to share comes from Christ, who first loved us. See, Scrooge was transformed. He learned that instead of being bitter, he needs to be loving. And instead of being indifferent to the needs of others, he needs to be caring. Scrooge's life transformed through the power of the Christmas message, which is the same message of Christ, the message to love one another, to care for one another. If you want to find the true joy of Christmas, praise God. Let him into your heart. Let him fill you with that joy. And then finally, we have a third thing that Luke shows us how to act after Christmas. If we look at Luke 2:17-18, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. We need to spread the good news, folks. This is the greatest gift given to you in your life. If I walked up to you, my brother here is Todd. Todd, hey man, what could I give you? A new house?
Sure.
Car? Yeah. A Ferrari?
Sure thing.
Would you be all right with that? Yeah. Now, if I gave Todd for Christmas a new house and a Ferrari, and how about some airline tickets? You and your wife travel the world. Okay? All right. As soon as I win the lotto, buddy, do you think Todd would not tell anybody what he just got for Christmas? Think he'd keep it to himself? He's like, shh, don't tell anybody. I just got a Ferrari. What was that? That was Todd. It wouldn't happen. He would be so excited. He would tell everybody. I'd be the coolest person in the world. And Pastor Ron, he got me a Ferrari. He bought me a house. I love that guy. You guys would all be my friends. What you got for me? God just gave you the greatest gift in the world. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell? What are you going to do with it? There's another little story I picked up here about a guy whose name was Luigi Terracio. I don't know, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. He was Italian. Poor guy. He was found dead one morning. Yeah. He had heart. It says he had scarcely a comfort in his home. But they found 246 exquisite violins stored in his attic. Scarcely a comfort in his home, but 246 violins. The greatest of these violins they found in the bottom drawer of an old bureau is in a case inside the drawer in this old rickety chest, and they pulled it out, and it was a Stradivarius violin. Now, he got this violin from somebody else who was hoarding it before him, who kept it safe and tucked away. And they traced it, and they did some work, and they figured it out. And when the violin was finally placed in the hands of a master violinist and played for the public to hear. That violin was speechless for 147 years. His love for the violin robbed the world of the music that violin would play for all those years. See, you've just heard the greatest news in the world. You have got the life-changing news of the miracle of Christ's birth. Now, we have people out there who live without hope. We have people out there who live without a Savior. We have people out there who live in fear of what will happen to them in their end days. What greater gift could you give them than the hope of rebirth, salvation, and eternal life? We need to spread the word. Not all of you will be preachers. Not all of you will be evangelists. You do not need to stand up on your chair with your Bible or go to the mall and start hitting people over the head with it. See, we share the word and the love of God through our actions. The same way you'll praise God is the same way you'll share God. That's the beauty of the plan. God doesn't ask of us. God gives to us. He gives us the ability to love so that we will love. And he showed us how first. That's the miracle. And we have that ability now to pass that on. See, the child was born, folks. You all have a baby. Now you have to decide what you're going to do. I want you to be proud parents. I want you to pull out your wallet. And look at the pictures. There's all these pictures here. This is my baby. This is my Jesus. I want you to show people you're proud. I want you to tell stories, just like a proud parent. Let people know about Jesus. Say, I want you to do something with the knowledge that you have. I have a couple quotes I also wanted to share with you. And please, if you have a problem with this, somebody mentioned it to me before, his first service, I'm going to put a quote up here by Buddha. Okay? It's not out of the Bible. I get it. But it's a good quote. I don't care who said it. You can apply it. Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. You know, I think if somebody would have shared Christ with Buddha, he might have been a good Christian. Maybe he would have done all right. Because he also said this quote, just as a candle cannot burn without fire, men cannot live without a spiritual life. It's pretty profound. I wish somebody would have shared Christ with him. There's another quote here that I thought was pertinent to this conversation. It says, there are two ways of spreading light, to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. And my last quote is by Eleanor Roosevelt. It says, it is better to light a candle than curse the darkness. See, we all have choices in our lives. Christmas is over. The day has passed. But the child is alive. The baby is born. We might not all be evangelists, but we sure as heck can be the mirror. We can reflect the light of Christ to others. We can all light a candle. We do not have to sit and curse the darkness. We can light a candle, and one flame in the dark will dispel the darkness. Each and every one of you has that light within you, and you can share it with others freely. Just as we passed the candles here Christmas Eve. And I think about that Christmas Eve Mass. How fast those candle flames spread out. 350 plus people were in this room, each with a candle. And it started from one. And it just spread. Each person to the next. How fast can we spread the love of Christ from this room in the same fashion? So now that Christmas Day is over, I ask you to think about what God did through his gift. Ponder this. Think about why he did this for you. Think about the enormity of what he did, stepping off of his throne and taking on flesh of a baby. Praise him for it. Live your life in a way that's pleasing to him and give him praise. And then pass it on. Share the hope that is within you with others. And understand, folks, that Christmas is not a day and a day that is past. It's not even just a season. Like Scrooge said, he will strive to keep Christmas all the year through. Because Christmas is about a child. And it's your child. And your lives are now forever changed. You have to decide what you will do with the good news that was given to you for your Savior, for your Christ, for your Messiah, for your King. What will you do with it? I was already told this week by someone that they shared Christ with a person who decided to give their life to the Lord. So I can light the candle. For those of you who don't know, every week that we find somebody that accepts the Lord, we light this candle as a representation of another soul being saved. I already know of somebody who has accepted the Lord into their life, and another soul has been saved. So we can light this candle today. Every soul, every person. Light a candle. Be the candle. Be the mirror. Reflect the light. If you've decided today you want to start to follow Christ and you want to learn more about that and you want to give your life to Christ, I invite you to come see me after service. Maybe next week we'll light this candle for you. I would love that. I would love to share with you the good news that my Savior has brought. So I invite you to come see me after church. So every time we light this candle, we save another soul for an eternity. I invite you to save souls with me. Christmas is over, but it's not done. It's just a day. Now, as we get ready for the new year, our lives are forever changed. If you'll rise with me.